Hi, I'm Mike Asowitz, CEO of TriCert Financial Group. Welcome to another episode of In Focus. Today, we're going to talk about energy and materials, our sector coverage of our QSECT approach. And joining us today is Grayson Wechter, our portfolio manager responsible for this this area. Welcome, Grayson.
Thanks, Mike.
Great to have you on the show. Energy is fairly obvious. It's mainly oil and gas, and then materials covers off, I would say, mainly mining. Again, raw materials. I know we have some other materials that aren't necessarily mined, like air products, for example, but mainly mining. So why don't we talk about last year and how these sectors fared? So let's start with energy. How did oil and gas fare in 2023?
Yeah, so for oil and gas, how it fared on the Canadian side, we're primarily on the U.S. side, but we do have a little bit of exposure with Suncor on the Canadian side. So the TSX did about 11.8% for the year, and the energy index was 6.3%. So it was a little bit leggy, and we saw that mainly due to the price of oil went from your mid-80s down to your mid-70s when you compare year over year, and we saw that reflect on the returns. The S&P did a little bit better than the TSX. It was 23.9%, and energy on the U.S. side was actually down 1.3%, and that was kind of mainly due to the delay that we saw in the oil sands coming back, just because they're a little bit higher cost producers. There's a little bit of a delay. We saw the international and U.S. oil producers pop up a little bit quicker, and that saw a little bit more delay than in 2023 because they had mainly recovered most of what they had lost due to COVID.
Okay. And what about on the materials front? What did we see there?
Yeah, so on the materials side, the material index was down 1.3% versus the TSX on the Canadian side. Now, there's a little bit of an asterisk next to that because about half of that is gold as well on the Canadian index. So we kind of keep that a little bit in mind when we compare it to the U.S. one. So the U.S. material index was up 12.5% for the year, and the S&P again was up 23.9%. So they did lag on both fronts, and a little bit of that had to do with just the 2022 returns, as well as the S&P 500 being a little bit more tech focused, and that had a really good bump back year as well.
Okay. Any standouts on the material side that you want to chat about in terms of what we saw last year?
Yeah, so there's a couple standouts that we did see. One of it was uranium. So that was a really big topic, especially to the second half of the year. Essentially, we saw the spot price of uranium go from about $45 up to about $105. So essentially, it took an industry that had spent years and years and years at prolonged reduced prices, and now with the renewed interest in nuclear as a green option, we have seen the spot price of uranium go up a fair amount. Now, when we look at the spot price, that's just the spot price for today. People that contract uranium usually go a little bit longer out, so they want a steady supply. And that went from, let's call it $45 to $50 price to about $70. So okay. When we look at something like Cameco, which is a uranium producer, they do sell at the spot price, but a lot of their contracts are locked in. So that was some nice development throughout the year for a company like that, being able to go out and sign some longer contracts. The other thing that we did see on here, and I did want to talk a little bit about this, we have through our material side, we have anything from diversified companies like Teck Resources and BHP, which they have a little bit of, coal for now. They're getting rid of it. They have a little bit of copper, nickel, zinc, diversified portfolio. And then we also have the gold miners. And the key between these that we're looking at, even the uranium miners too, they're all price takers. So they don't set the price of anything. They just take it based on what the global price is. The one thing that we're excited that we added at the start of the year into some portfolios and part of our core pick list is Martin Marietta. So essentially, what they do is they sell crushed rock. They call it aggregates, and it just goes into infrastructure projects, anything from building houses to building data centers. But the nice thing about them is they're not a price taker, they're a price setter. So they can actually control the price that they are able to set for them. And the reason why they can do that is when you're moving the materials, it's very local. So once you go about 35 miles out, you're spending more to transfer the material than you are on the job site. So we've seen what happened to the price of oil, the price of transportation, and they're able to actually increase their earnings through being able to set prices themselves. And I think that's the interesting idea, and what we're looking at the materials space going forward is seeing the companies that do have more of an ability to set price versus just take the global price. So I'll give an example. This year, their production of aggregates, it was a little bit demand wasn't quite there as much as they saw from before. So their production and sales were down about on a tonnage 3%. They raised price 16%. So all in all, it's a good year for them. So when we look at the materials sector, that's what we're trying to do is just think a little bit more outside the box and see if there are these unique opportunities as well. We still like the other companies. We like the diversified miners. The great thing about them is the worst thing about them. When something's going good, something's not going good on the other side. But we are looking for opportunities and seeing if we can find some more of these price setters versus price
Yeah, where they can
takers.
add some value on top of just the raw resource, right? In this example, transportation and the like versus just the cost of the
Exactly.
raw material. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So you talked about already in terms of looking forward. So that's an interesting look. Anything else in terms of what you anticipate may happen in 2024, either on the energy side or in materials?
Yeah, so for the energy side, if we look at the International Energy Agency and what they're projecting demand for 2024 to be, production supposed to be 102.3 million barrels per day. Consumption is supposed to be 102.4 million barrels per day. So when we see the difference between demand, production, and consumption being that tight, it really is it's a little bit of a wild card. But if we look at how they've been increasing, so the production itself for 550,000 barrels per day is the increase for next year. For the consumption itself is 1.42 million. So we're seeing consumption accelerating at a rate a little bit higher than demand. And for us, that's showing a positive sign for the oil market. The interesting thing is, though, when we look at pricing for next year for the oil markets, it's about $4 cheaper to buy a barrel of oil today for a year from now than it is to purchase today. So that phenomenon is just called backwardation. And essentially, it's if you want to lock in your price today, it's more expensive to buy and take the oil today than it is a year from now. And if you think of a barrel of oil, you got to buy it, you got to store it. There's a lot of cost towards that. So we see very, very strong consumption demand for oil on the one side, but then we see the financial market telling us a little bit different. But all in all, we do think that it's going to be a relatively good year for oil for our clients and the portfolio the way we have it set up. It's not a huge part of a client portfolio anyways. Always you have these wild card factors that are going in. So when something's this tight between supply and demand, you've got factors of countries like Venezuela and Iran that have mainly sanctions put on most of their stuff. I really doubt the Iranian sanctions are going to come off anytime soon. But you always have those wild card countries, and even a 1%, plus or minus on each side can drive the price of those guys.
That's an important point, Grayson, is that in the, these are commodities basically to a certain extent, right? And we do see fluctuations, some volatility, but as you said, there's pluses and minuses, and they tend to weigh themselves off in terms of trying to keep it fairly steady for our clients.
Exactly. And when we look at this, we definitely look at companies that are more big and more internationally diversified. So your Exxons and your Chevrons versus some of the smaller players that have smaller margins on some of theirs. So if there are these big swings in the price of oil, we want to make sure we're in companies that can weather that storm like we saw during COVID.
Yeah, sounds good. Grayson, thanks for this.
Oh, you're welcome. Pleasure being here.
Folks, as always, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to chat with your financial advisor at your CPA firm, talk to your portfolio manager, or don't hesitate to reach out to myself. Take care.